Believe it or not, there are actually people who do not listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. And that means we can say all the terrible things about them we want, because it's not like they're gonna hear it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. If I were in a police lineup, I'd be the one in the middle. Just to let you know, make it easier for you. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Please take your seats. I'm about to start the program. Are you ready to order? I'll take your order now. What would you like? The salmon? Oh, that's poached today. We're poaching the salmon. What do you want as a vegetable? Ugh. Seriously? You can eat that crap? Anyway, welcome to the show. I am here, so let's not go too nuts about it. I'll be with you for about half an hour today. After that, you're on your own. I don't care what you do after that. But while you're listening to the program, please, please follow the rules and regulations of the show. Oh, there are some. They're very, very important. And the reason that we have rules and regulations is that some of you get out of hand really, really easily. So we do this.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
No.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day, but even then. Please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
That was just a tad condescending, don't you think? But they are the rules and the regulations, and before we continue with the program, as we do on every show, thank you so much for being here, you have to sign the contract so that if anything happens to you during the course of this program, I am not legally held responsible because my insurance does not cover this. So please go to page 3 and initial here. And initial here. And initial here. I use just the first initial here. This is very important. Page 7, please. Party of the first part, second part, third part, and party of third part, and fourth part, and sixth part. Agree not to have any parties of parts involved. I agree not to eat tofu, and I was saying one on Thursday, and one on Saturday, and one on Sunday, and one time on the belly, and the embellishment of the sixth part, the first part, the second part, and third part. This refers to what was said in 17A, 17B, and 17C. Those are two apartments that are just above my house. So initial here, and initial here. Over here, please give me the last four digits of your social security number. What? Say that louder. Those aren't your last four digits. Oh, give me that shit. I know your last four digits. Write them down. All right, sign here. And sign here. And sign here. Party of the first part, sign the second part, agrees with the second part and the third part. Oh, it's $5 million a week, no sites, no severance, and you'll pay me this accordingly in small amounts. Initial here. Initial here. Initial here. Initial here. That's me crumpling up the entire agreement. Thank you so much for being here. All right. What do you want to talk about today? What's on your plate? What do you want to talk about? What's on your plate today? I don't know where you live. It's another hot day where I live. No rain in sight. It's awful. It's just amazingly awful. It has not rained again since 1927. And even in 1927, it just drizzled. Drizzle is not rain. Now, when you go to a strip club, you don't make it drizzle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, actually, you do. Oh, wait a minute. In a sense, I guess you do. That is so funny. Millennials don't know what strip clubs are. Millennials don't know much of anything, really. They haven't really developed into full-sized human beings yet. They're still in an embryonic state. Someday, when they gather some life experience, like have children and have physical conditions, you'll understand what life is all about. But until then, I don't want to hear it from you. Yesterday was a very, very strange day, and I'll tell you why. I don't want to give away my age because I don't give away prizes on this show. I don't give away things. But let's just say that I'm probably older than you are, and at the same time, for some of you, I'm probably younger. So it's somewhere in there. I grew up watching television, and I didn't really watch this show when I was a kid. I did here and there, but I didn't appreciate it. And the show is Leave It to Beaver. And when I got older, Leave It to Beaver has always been on the air in reruns. And with the emergence of these classic TV cable stations, I there was a point in my life when I was watching Leave It to Beaver every single day. I wouldn't miss it. It became a fabric of my being. And again, millennials do not know what Leave It to Beaver is. They think it's kind of like a porno film. No, it wasn't a porno. Oh my God, it wasn't. Stop it. Just because it says Beaver in the title doesn't mean it was a porno. What's wrong with you? Yesterday, I'm going on my internet, and there's a big article on the internet saying that Tony Dow, who played Wally on Leave It to Beaver, had died at the age of 77. It devastated me. And I don't know why. I think because it was something that I grew up with. And now it's been taken away. It just struck me like, I don't know. It was like the people that I grew up with are now starting to perish on a weekly basis. Getting a little too close to home, may I say. Tony Dow, who played Wally Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, was an incredible man. He did that show, of course, as a child, and he went on to direct other television shows and some movies and things, appeared in some movies. It was not a bombastic career. Wasn't one of these rich actors. He's just a really nice guy. A father, a husband, just a really, everybody who knew him, really good guy. Being in the circle of show business that I apparently am stuck in, I never spoke to Wally Cleaver, Tony Dow personally. I did to Jerry Mathers, who played the Beaver. I know, this doesn't make sense to a lot of you. But I never had any conversation or interview with Tony Dow, but I felt this connection to him, and I knew a lot of people that directly had connection with him and you know, were in contact with him constantly. He was diagnosed with cancer a ways back. And in May, it resurfaced, and liver cancer. And he battled with that and was in hospice because things weren't working out. And yesterday it was announced that he had passed. I went through a whole process yesterday because of that. Toward the end of yesterday, there was a big news item, and it was that Tony Dow did not pass away. How could you get that wrong? Apparently, his... do you care about this? Okay. Apparently, his wife was with him, and she was on the phone with his agent at the time, and she was talking to him, and Tony stopped breathing, and she says, "Oh my God, he's passed. I've got to go." And with that, Tony Dow's agent took that news and went to the media and said that he had passed. Turns out that he did not die at that point. He did stop breathing, but he did start breathing again. So that had to be retracted. Tony Dow is still alive, still in a very bad situation, but still alive. This morning, he really passed away at the age of 77. He's passed away. No, he hasn't. Wait a minute. Now he's passed away. Oh my God, that's awful. Anyway, go to your Google and things if you're familiar with Tony Dow, unfortunately. Yeah, but that really hit me, man. It for some reason it hit me because he was in my age group, somewhat, not really. I mean, he's older, but still, it just was part of my life. On a lesser note, I feel the same way. I'm not comparing the two, don't get me wrong, but I feel the same way about when I'm going on a trip soon to get away from all of this for just a few days. And I go to this hotel that I like a lot. And across the street from this hotel is this restaurant that I really, really love. And it's great because I can go to this hotel and then you walk to the other side of the parking lot and there's this really, really nice restaurant within a really beautiful cocktail lounge and really good food. And I was looking forward to that. Come to find out that restaurant closed during the COVID years. COVID, you bastard! You closed one of my favorite restaurants. The older I get, the more of my favorite places just either go out of business or close or sell to somebody else and then they turn into condos or something. And I think it was my father who once said to me, "Get your fucking hands off of my stuff." No, he also said, Ron, when you get older, you'll understand that things never stay the same. The only thing that stays the same is that things always change. And I said, "Dad, you're making no sense. What stays the same is that things always change? That makes no sense, you dawdling bastard." I didn't call him a dawdling bastard. I just bastard. No, he wasn't a bastard. I said that for entertainment purposes. He told me a lot of other things that were very wise. At the time, they sounded like a bunch of crap. But as I got older, I found that those were very wise comments. And there are certain things you can't understand until you actually go through them. And I guess that's the lesson of life, ladies and gentlemen. So on a small level, my favorite restaurants no longer exist. I cannot eat that food anymore. And it was one of my pleasures of life. On a larger scale, the people that I grew up with are starting to diminish. And I guess you have to be there to understand that, I suppose, millennials. I still confound millennials every day of my life. I tease them by saying, "Did you ever have a bag phone?" And the expression on their face is just precious. They don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I love it. I love to confuse them. I've said this on the show before as well. This confuses them greatly. When I was growing up, we used to have male. And these kids, they don't know what that is. You mean, what is mail? There was this thing called the post office. It wasn't really very viable financially, but was a pretty cool service. And for under a dollar, under 50 cents, you could put a stamp on an envelope and put anything inside at all, and it would be delivered a few days later to any place in the United States. Just for like 25 cents, I think it was 23 cents or something like that. Might have even been less. And the millennials cannot fathom that. They said, well, how is that even possible? I said, I don't know, but it was. And millennials say, well, I can send pictures and things through email that people can receive immediately. And my response is, good for you. Good for you. That's really nice. Good for you. What's your freaking rush? What's your rush? What's your rush? Kids, you don't understand. There's a certain luxury to mailing something and and the people don't get it for a couple of days. It's like I call it the buffer period. You know, it's just lovely. It's just a lovely thing. Life was slower then, see, kids. It was so much slower. There was no rush to anything. People would mail something and then sit in a chair and go, okay, that's done. And there was no stress. There was some stress. Some people had stress, I suppose. You know, people were still struggling financially and all that stuff. But that was separate. Now stress is everywhere. You look under the seat cushions on your couch, there's stress there. Stress is all over. Stress causes physical disease, or it compounds it. It's awful. It's awful. We didn't have stress when I was growing up. We didn't have that kind of stress. We just kind of sat back and nothing worked anyway. But these days, when something doesn't work, you have to call in an army of specialists and all this kind of stuff. And it's something. Yeah, stuff didn't work when I was growing up, but more stuff did work because it wasn't that complicated. We didn't need chips and things like that. Here's something millennials just can't grasp. And it's so funny to watch the expression on their face when I tell them this. Their faces just go like, oh, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're talking about. I watched a lot of television, and there were no remote controls. The first remote controls were very archaic. They were like little boxes that you would basically hold in your hand. But originally, and I was like an embryo, but I was told this story as well. And I think I experienced when I was like really, really little. We didn't have remote controls. We had knobs on the TV. A knob? What's a knob? Knobs on the TV, and if you wanted to change the channel, you had to go to the TV itself, and you had to turn the knob. And when you change channels and turn the knob, there would be this gigantic sound. And it sounded like the knob was going to break off. And my father used to yell at me and said, don't change the channel so much, the knob's going to break. And it did. And I don't know where the knob store was, but you could replace the knob. It was a universal knob assembly system. But you had to go up to the TV to change the channels. You couldn't channel surf. You were just turning the knob a lot. My forearm in knob turning was quite strong. I think I could lift an elephant. But you had to change channel by turning the knob on the TV set itself. Millennials can't grasp that. They think that I'm kidding. They laugh and they say, "You're Ron. You're kidding me. You stop it. You stop. You're kidding me." They all sounded like Carol Channing. Millennials don't know who Carol. Do you know who Carol Channing was? Raise your hand if you know who. See, there's your divide. Not that it makes a difference. She was not a great actress or anything like that, or a singer or anything. She just, look her up too. Millennials, you got a lot of work to do. But yeah, there were no remote controls, millennials. And again, they'd rather take their own lives than have to understand that. Okay. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to discuss things with my guest. We have a lot to talk about. Actually, we have nothing to talk about, but I'm going to make it sound like we really do. In the meantime, how about this?
Ready for your next good time out with friends? Then come to karaoke night at that bar near your house. Grab the mic and belt out your favorites, or grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the show. You'll see things like 12 drunk girls singing Love Shack, all in different keys. Check out the nice old lady who only performs Patsy Cline tunes, and her gray-haired gentleman partner, who apparently only knows Sinatra. Feel the love and warmth of a heartfelt ballad sung by a young man with a beautiful soprano voice who hasn't come out to his parents yet. Thrill to frat boys jacked up on tequila shots and Red Bull trying to pull off 90s gangster rap, or that Fall Down, Get Up Again song by Chumbawamba. And clap along to that one girl who auditioned for American Idol once, singing like she's auditioning for American Idol. All this and more musical notes never before performed by a human voice at karaoke night at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Hello.
Good morning.
Dr. Neil Barnard joins us now. He is a nutrition researcher and New York Times bestselling author, and he's done it again here, Your Body in Balance. We're talking about hormones and how they affect your body according to the foods that you eat. What is a hormonal imbalance, by the way?
Hormones are basically messengers that go from one part of the body to another. So in a woman's body, the ovaries make estrogens that are hormones that affect her reproductive organs. Or in a man, a testosterone will affect his, say, muscular development, for example. Or the thyroid gland makes thyroid hormone, which gives us energy. Yeah. So they're really messengers.
Okay. And you're pretty much stating that we don't talk about this very much, but there is an imbalance going on in many cases.
That's right. And the amazing thing is that foods can control our hormones. Yeah. Sometimes foods throw them off kilter. So that gives us completely new control over a huge range of problems, such as if a young woman has menstrual cramps, or yeah, a couple has problems with infertility, or a woman has hot flashes. It could be that foods are throwing off the hormonal balance, and we can bring it back into balance. The same is true for men with erectile dysfunction, mm-hmm, or thyroid problems, or even diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes, thyroid, I mean, probably two of the most common forms of discussion that we even have on this show. So many people are affected by it on one level or another. You believe that if one ate in a different manner, put different things in your body, so to speak, that this imbalance could be corrected to some extent?
Yes, to an enormous extent. Oh. And it really means rethinking the disease. In the case of diabetes, the old-fashioned view is my blood sugar is high, so I should not eat sugar, and
right,
don't eat bread that right, releases sugar. And there's something to that. But what we've discovered now is what causes the whole thing. And what causes the whole thing is that the hormone insulin is misbehaving. When it arrives at the cells to try to get the sugar into the cell,
yeah,
it can't function. It's malfunctioning. And so we found that foods can make it function again. So they get your insulin working right, and maybe you won't even need medication anymore.
Hmm.
Now, everyone's different. You should definitely talk to your doctor, yeah, as you change your diet.
Yeah.
But we have seen people who don't have diabetes anymore because they've been able to get their foods, yeah, in the correct balance.
Well, let's use that as an example because that is so widespread. And even for people who don't have diabetes, it's also a healthy choice. What kinds of tips do you have for eating foods that would pretty much take care of that?
Okay, three tips. And by the way, what I'm about to say is exactly the opposite of how I was raised,
okay,
as a kid in Fargo, North Dakota, right, where it was burgers and, you know, pork chops.
I know.
The healthiest diet for reversing diabetes or improving it as much as possible excludes animal products completely.
Yeah.
So it's a vegan diet.
Yeah.
Number two, we keep oils really low, so not a lot of fried junk.
Yeah.
And the third tip is that we use foods that don't get blood sugar out of whack. So instead of white bread, you might pick rye bread,
yeah,
or pumpernickel bread. Those are the healthier carbohydrates.
Okay.
But the most important ones are getting rid of the animal products and keeping oils low. When that happens,
yeah,
the cell can respond to insulin much more effectively, and people need less medicine, and we have seen cases then when the disease actually just completely vanishes,
wow,
which we had not been prepared for before.
Wow. What about fiber? I hear so much about fiber, how that affects so many different things. Is that actually something to talk about?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And in fact, that fits right in with the prescription, because when I said get rid of animal products, one of the big problems with the meat that I, well, meat and poultry and fish in general, including everything I grew up with, meats don't have fiber. Dairy products don't have fiber, and they tend to disrupt digestion, but they tend to disrupt blood sugar control as well. So when you're on a completely vegan diet, there's fiber in everything, and that is part of what gets us into better balance.
Okay. I know people just...
By the way, I don't want to understate this. What? I'm not talking about making a little improvement in your life.
Yeah.
One of the first research participants we had was a man named Vance, who had had diabetes for several years. It was all up and down his family tree. He went on this approach. He lost 60 pounds. His doctor, his private doctor said, "This is amazing, you're doing so well. I'm going to stop all your medications." But his blood sugar control came into the perfectly normal range without medications, and effectively he no longer had diabetes. And when we first saw this, we were shocked, but now we see it routinely. So that the whole reason I wrote Your Body in Balance is so many people think they are condemned to medications and they'll have to be on insulin injections for the rest of their life. You know, maybe so, but why don't we see what we can do with foods to get your body back into balance?
Sure. After how long, let's say you change your diet and your eating habits and you didn't put the so-called junk into your mouth, how long after that do you start feeling better, your metabolism changes, you just feel healthier? Is that months after, weeks after, days after? Because as human beings, when we start to feel better, now we have a reason. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you get on the scale and you see that something shed 2 or 3 pounds, you'll keep doing it. Otherwise, you kind of won't. How long does it take before you start feeling the effects?
Depends on the condition. With regard to diabetes, people are a little bit unsure if what I've said is true for about 3 days. They think, can this be true? But usually by about day 4 or 5, they start to notice their blood sugar is improving, even before they've lost substantial amounts of weight, and certainly within the first couple of weeks. With regard to menstrual cramps, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of our discussion that menstrual cramps at fertility and hot flashes, these are related, in this case, not to insulin, but to estrogens. And what we see is that usually right in the first cycle, a woman who's had really bad cramps and heavy flow, she'll notice that that's improved in the next cycle after the diet change. Mm-hmm. However, none of this is going to happen if you don't actually do it. So I encourage people not to just take this on faith and think, well, maybe I'll kind of give it a try. I encourage them to see for themselves, and that means take a month and actually do what we're suggesting. And for most people, it is just life-changing, that they realize that they have more control than they ever had thought possible. Yeah. The guy who's the doctor for the erectile dysfunction medications suddenly discovers he's restored blood flow to his private parts, and he doesn't need the Viagra, and he just feels like a young man again. We see this absolutely routinely. But again, don't take my word for it. I encourage people to try it for themselves.
Sure.
Talk with their doctor. Let them know what they're doing.
I can't imagine any doctor saying, don't try to eat healthy. We don't.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I was a medical student at the George Washington University in Washington, D.C., we were really not taught about nutrition, and that's still true today.
Yes.
And so doctors tend to be a little too quick with the prescription pad, and they don't really look at the cause of the disease. Take infertility. How many couples are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on fertility treatments? We have seen people's both in men and in women, the fertility issues. For a man, it's a low sperm count quite often.
Mm-hmm.
For a woman, she's not ovulating normally. When we get their foods back in balance, those things can improve. So I would encourage anybody, whatever other treatment you may be doing, good heavens, let's get your body back in balance. Maybe you won't need the other treatment.
Sure. I mean, I would imagine that thyroid and metabolic issues have a lot to do with not being able to control your weight as much as you would like to. I mean, it seems just like across the board makes sense. Of course, yeah, check with your doctor or check with Dr. Barnard. Give him a call. No, don't do that. All right. So the book's available now, I assume.
Yes, it's called Your Body in Balance. And by the way, let me brag about the recipes. Lindsay S. Nixon is a wonderful recipe developer. She made 65 recipes that put it to work, plus tips for people who mostly eat at restaurants. But when she sent me the recipes, she also sent a note saying that this approach had cured her own menstrual cramps, too.
Wow.
So I thought, all right, that's an endorsement I hadn't been expecting.
Sure. That's a inside the jacket kind of thing.
You got it.
Yeah, you know, that's a very interesting thing you brought up, and I haven't really read anybody else doing this. If you have to eat out all the time for various reasons, for work or whatever, what do you do there? And that's very cool. That's not discussed much at all, ever. Maybe the restaurants...
Well, my tip here is think international. Yeah. It's harder sometimes at a steakhouse, easier at an Italian, Chinese, Mexican, Japanese kind of restaurant. But we got lots of tips for you, so Your Body in Balance has you covered.
Good. Okay, Your Body in Balance. How can people follow you, Doctor?
Our own website is PCRM.org. That stands for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org. And Your Body in Balance is on all the online places. But frankly, if there's a local bookstore, they'd appreciate your business.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. Good information and a pleasure speaking to you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'm going to be back again with a brand new program. That's not a promise. That's a threat. So join me then. But until that time arrives, make it the best day you can. You'll be happier that way. I wish you peace.